I want to speak to you about that God is speaking. That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. And it's not going to sound like a Christmas message until the end, okay? But we're going to be in 2 Peter chapter 1. That's where we're going to live for a little while. And I encourage you, if you have your Bibles, let's go there. But I'm going to pray because I need God's help to speak this morning. And you need God's help to hear this morning. So let's pray. Father, we belong to you. We are your people. And we love you, God. God, thank you that we can agree with the angels. Glory to God in the highest. God, we are so excited that this is real, that Christmas was a real event. You really did leave heaven and become a baby. You really did become Emmanuel, God, with us. Lord, this isn't a fairy tale. This isn't a myth. This isn't an idea. Lord, this is real. And God, we just rejoice that you became a man to suffer in our place, to pay the price for our sins, that we could be home with you forever. And God, we just are so thankful. And Lord, help us to be not just celebratory just because it's Christmas and there's lights and presents, but that God really did become a man and dwell with us, the greatest event in history. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know, just a thought while I was praying, it wasn't at the resurrection that the heavens broke forth. It wasn't when Jesus ascended into heaven that the heavens broke forth. It was when he became as a baby. So that's something. Is when God became a man. That's when the heavens broke forth. Interesting. That was free also. That wasn't in the notes. My goodness. We'll see if we even get here. Anyway, I'm really excited about the word this morning. And it's not something I've really seen before. But it's very profound. And we're in 2 Peter. And this is Peter, one of the disciples who wrote this book. And I can't wait to meet Peter. Talk about an interesting guy. And I love looking at Peter when he was a young follower of Jesus Christ and all the dumb, cocky things that he did. And then to read 1 and 2 Peter, which is later in his life, and be like, this is not the same guy. Well, what happened to Peter? Do you know what happened? He walked with Jesus for many years, and God changed his mind. God changed his heart. And here is a guy who is seasoned with the Lord. And now he is fully given to others. And it's incredible. And the hope that we have for that is this, that when we walk with the Lord, we will be ever changing from image to image and glory to glory by the grace of God. Isn't that good news? I can't wait 10 years from now, 20 years from now, as the Lord gives us life, you know, to keep walking with the Lord and to be transformed again and again into the likeness of Christ. And we get to see that in the scripture with Peter. So he's writing the letter. He's writing a letter to a group of people. And the whole reason he's doing it is to stir up. Verse 1, chapter 1, verse 13 talks about stirring up a realization of the fullness of their salvation. He's wanting to implore people to remember the fullness of salvation. You see, salvation isn't just that you're saved from sin, you're saved from death. There's a fullness of salvation that I feel like we know this much about. I actually feel that when we get to heaven, we are going to be overwhelmed with the fullness of the salvation that Jesus won for us. So anyway, Peter is talking to this group of people, and he's talking about the fullness of everything that Christ has done. And then we moved into this section starting in verse 16 through 21. It says this, "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, he's not talking about the second coming of Jesus. He's talking about when he came as a man. "But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty." Verse 17, "For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Then verse 20 says, knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Wow. That's a pretty deep verse. But he starts off saying this: we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power of the coming of the Lord Jesus. In other words, Peter is saying, when we were telling you that God became a man, we didn't spice it up. Like, we weren't talking about myths. We weren't talking about ideas. We weren't talking about concepts that you know, you should believe in that are good. Like, we were talking about something that was true, something that really happened. And do you know what it was? It was the power of God. We were talking about the power of God, not just these fables, not just these ideas that man is baking up. This is the power of God. You know, it's in 1 Corinthians that Paul says that the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, it's a matter of power. So you know, you need to know this, that a follower of Jesus, a Christian, is not a set of beliefs. We are different from everyone else on this earth. And their belief system, their worldviews, whatever that is. There's a lot of people who believe a lot of things, but you know what? As a follower of Jesus, we're different. We're not a matter of just talking about this. This is real. This is true. And you know what? It's a matter of power. The kingdom of God is not a matter of talk. It's a matter of power. Isn't that awesome? That's the kind of people you are if you're a follower of Jesus. You're people with power. The kingdom of God is a matter of power. So Peter is saying, when we made this known, we weren't just making stuff up. We just didn't want to get people on the bandwagon. This was a matter of power when we're talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus. And then the end of verse 16 says that we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. It's like 1 John 1, if you were here a few weeks ago, when John says, we have seen his glory. He was full of grace and truth. Peter's saying the same thing. We were eyewitnesses. Do you know in the court of law, do you know who has a lot of credibility? Eyewitnesses. If you were an eyewitness, you gain credibility. So Peter's saying, we didn't make stuff up. I was there. I saw Jesus. I saw his majesty. I saw his glory. And what he refers to is a time in the scripture called the transfiguration. The transfiguration was a time when Jesus brought his inner core, Peter, James, and John, up the mountain, and it's there that he revealed his glory. Really, the only time that he revealed his glory, where the mask came off, and he was like, this is who I really am. You know, not just baby Jesus, not just a face that you wouldn't recognize him as God, but he just looked like an ordinary man. No, it's like, this is who I am. I'm the Son of God. The only time that he was revealed who he was. So Peter was saying, I was there when I saw the power of God revealed in Jesus. And it says that when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was born to him by the majesty glory, this is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. Peter was saying, I was there. I heard the voice of God speak over Jesus. This is my Son with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. This is a guy to listen to, okay? Can you imagine being there? Can you imagine being Peter and be like, I mean, he didn't handle the situation well. That's another sermon for another time. He did not handle that situation well. But can you imagine being there when Jesus is revealed in all his glory and all his splendor? In Revelation, we see that as well when John gets to see the throne room, gets to see Jesus for who he really is. Not just a baby, But the Son of God, where the train of his robe fills the temple, where there's, I mean, he is glorious. And Peter's like, I got a glimpse of that. I got to see Jesus in his glory. And it was majestic. We heard the voice of heaven. So we didn't just see Jesus and Elijah and Moses in this incredible event, but I heard God's voice. Wow. So Peter's saying, like, I'm not making stuff up. I saw it with my very own eyes. And I want to make known to you that the things that I'm saying, there's a weight to what I'm saying. Because I'm an eyewitness. I'm not making stuff up. So the things that I'm talking about, there's a weightiness, there's a heaviness, there's a glory to it. It's like a sign. And it was glorious. But verse 19 says this, and this is so profound. It says this, and we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention. Okay, what's going on there? Essentially, Peter is saying, he's like, we didn't make stuff up. I'm an eyewitness. I saw Jesus. But what he's saying is this. But do you know what? The prophetic word, the words that were spoken about what was going to come, the messengers of God that were speaking for God, the things that we have written down in the scripture hundreds of years in advance, he said, these words are more fully confirmed. In essence, there's greater weight to the prophetic word, the things that God spoke, than this incredible experience that I saw. Isn't that incredible? Wow, is right. See, the transfiguration was amazing. But even more powerful, even more confirmed, even more sure are we of the prophetic word, the word of God that was spoke through men and women that we have right here. This is more powerful. Isn't that incredible? It's more fully confirmed. The testimony of God's word is more sure than Peter's personal experience. We live in a time that is all about experience. It's all about feeling. You got to feel it. If it feels good, do it. It's all about relativism, you know, just flow with it. It's all about feeling, feeling, feeling. That is no way to live because it's not true. The heart is deceitful about all things. And you know what? Even if you do experience something, and even though you experience something that's truthful, it holds no weight to the prophetic word of God. Isn't that incredible? Praise God for experiences, but praise God for the word of God. Isn't that amazing? And this is Peter talking about this. It's like, don't take my word for it. You've got the prophetic word. You have the testimony of God's word. And his word to them, verse 19, we have this word fully confirmed to which you will do well to pay attention. So it's like, sure, listen to me. Listen to my experience. I'm not making stuff up. I mean, I have experienced God. But do you know what you need to pay attention to me? Not to me, not to these incredible experiences that I have. I mean, Peter could talk your ear off all day long, all the things he saw Jesus do, right? He was with Jesus for 3 years. But Peter is saying, you know what's even more convincing? It's the word of God, the prophetic word. And you would do well to pay attention. Amazing. And then he describes it as a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Is that beautiful? It's kind of like this in the Psalms when it says that your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So pay attention to it. Pay attention to it. because it's a lamp in a dark place. It gives us hope. We have the words of God. Don't you hear this? What he's saying is like, yeah, I experience God, but we have the words of God. And it's even more sure. It's even more confirmed. It is solid. It's foundational. And do you know what this gives us? Light unto our feet. Until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Because we're people of the light. And one day we will be where we belong. In the light as he is in the light. But until that day, we need hope in dark places. We need light in dark places. And then verse 20 moves and it says, knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture. Prophecy is message from God. A prophet was a messenger of God. Prophecy is the message from God. So in the Old Testament, God would raise up men and women of God to speak for God. God would give them messages, and the messenger would give the message of God. He wouldn't just break through the clouds and loud voices appear all the time. God would use messengers. And do you know what? It's the same now as well. God uses messengers. So he's saying, know this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture, so no message of God that we have in the Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was produced by the will of God. In essence, he's saying, there was no message of God that the writers were, you know, taking ideas and kind of giving their spin or slant on it. That's not how it works. It's not that things come from God and we get to inform what it says. Or so it's not that the writer gets to, okay, this is what happened and this is my take on it. This is my opinion on how it's supposed to be. So Peter's saying the writers of Scripture, it's not like they had their slant. No, the message was the message, and it is the message. It's not tainted at all. But he's also saying that the readers, those who are receiving the message of God, it's not for us to put our own slant on it. It's not for us to inform what God's word is. See, God has spoken. We have the very words of God. And we don't have the authority. We don't have, it's not for us to inform what that means. It is true. We don't get to mess with the truth. Now, here's where it goes, though. It applies to us uniquely in our situation, right? It applies to us. God speaks to us through his word. But the meaning of it remains the same because it lasts forever. So he's saying, no, first of all, that no prophecy comes from someone's own interpretation. We cannot play loose with the word of God. Can't play loose with it. God has spoken. And do you know what will not fade? That God's word lasts forever. Heaven and earth will fall away, but my word will last forever. Isn't that amazing? So don't dance with the word of God. Don't play loose with it. And that's why, beloved, if you are a follower of Jesus, you have to know this. Don't just listen to a preacher on Sunday. Don't just podcast. You have to know the word of God. And I would encourage you, like, don't just nickel and dime this baby and memorize a few verses or read a verse here or there. Can I invite you to know the whole counsel of God? The whole counsel of God. You know, in other countries, they don't have access to this. All my Bibles burned, but I had more than one Bible. And my guess is you probably do too, you know? How much do you know it, though? You know, how much of this is in you? See, you know what Peter is saying? It's not that we inform the word what it is. It's that it informs us. You see that? It informs us. This word does not change. So the real question is, what does this mean? And beloved, this is why I think it's in James. It says, not many of you should be teachers. Trust me, it's not that great. Because it says that teachers are going to be judged more. Why? Because we're handling the truth. You know, like I could say, thus say the Lord, and if I'm off, don't mess with the word of God. So be careful what you wish for, you know? Not many of you should be teachers. Because we're dealing with the word of God. It's big stuff. Knowing this, no prophecy of Scripture comes from one's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of God. But men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? Men, people, humans spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. You know what I was thinking about? Like, okay, how did this happen? I wish I could be in the rooms of people as they sat down to write the scriptures. See, it wasn't like this. Monday morning, 8 o'clock, I should start writing the Bible. And then you go get your parchment out, and I'm going to start writing the Bible, and people are going to be reading this for the rest of the time. No. These were people who were walking with God, and they were open to being led by God. And God downloaded the message that he wanted to speak to the people of God through them, through their pens, through their mouths. And they wrote it. Why? It says because they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? They were carried. The scripture, what that is alluding to is talking about being carried along. It's kind of like a ship. You know, that opens its sails and lets the wind move it. And it's like letting loose of the wheel and letting the rudder steer it. That's what it's talking about. So do you know how we got this? This wasn't men and women of God who are like, you know what, we need to write something really important. I'm going to write this down and it's going to be amazing. No, they were just tools. They were tools. They were pawns that were allowing themselves to be moved by God, carried along. And that's how we have the Holy Scriptures. Is that incredible? But this wasn't because of people's interpretation about what it should be, and they wrote it down. Like, no, God was downloading this. And they spoke from God. So one question I have before we get into the Christmas message is this. Are your sails up? Are your sails up? Are you positioned to be moved and carried along by God? Or are you just rowing, you know? Are you just rowing your boat? Row your boat gently down the stream. Do you see how foolish that is? Why would you row your boat when you could spread your sail and be carried along by the Holy Spirit? Right? See, we're God's people. We are God's people. And this gift is for us. You know, do you know what Jesus said in John 3? This was when he was talking to Nicodemus. He was saying, the wind blows wherever it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is everyone born of the Spirit. Because they're just moved. You just keep walking, and you know what? If you're open to God, he's going to move you. He's going to use you. He's going to give you words to say. He's going to put you in places where you have no business being. But he's going to carry you there. And do you know what? He's going to show up there. He's going to give you words. He's going to give you opportunities. He's going to use your life. And do you know what? Others will be blessed, not because you row your boat, because you open your sails and you allow God to carry you. Is that amazing? Wow. God is so good. Do you know where this book that we're reading, do you know how that happened? Peter was crucified with Christ. He's like, I no longer live. It's Christ that lives in me now. And he stopped fighting and said, carry me, carry me. And we get the book of 2 Peter because Peter allowed himself to be carried by the Holy Spirit. Isn't that incredible? So the message for us as the people of God is that we would be people who lift our sails. Lift our sails. Not my will, but yours be done. And we allow God to carry us. Amen? Merry Christmas. Isn't that good news? See, the message of salvation is so much more than just God raising us from the dead. That's what Peter's talking about. There's a fullness to salvation that's yours in Christ. And I want to stir that up as a reminder to you. But he is saying there's no prophecy. So I want to talk a little bit about prophecy, these things that were written beforehand. And you know what? Jesus spoke about things that were written about him. There's a few times in the scripture, and I'm only going to reference two. I believe there's more, but John 5:46, he's talking and says, if you believed Moses, you have believed me, because he wrote about me. Isn't that incredible? Moses, hundreds of years before, was writing about Jesus. And Jesus is there saying, Moses wrote about me, and here I am. Isn't that incredible? Or if you remember the road to Emmaus, this is after Jesus was resurrected, but not everyone knew that he was resurrected. And he was walking with two people who were walking away from Jerusalem. And it says there that Jesus, I'm going to read it, verse 24, verse 25. Jesus said to him, O foolish one, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he, God, Jesus, interpreted to them all the scriptures of things concerning himself. Isn't that incredible? So the scripture's all there, the prophecies there, the messages of God are there. And they're all about Jesus. All about Jesus. And do you know what the response for the people was? Their heart burned in them. Why? Because it was true. It was true. It's all there. You know what I pray for you? That this book becomes alive to you. That your heart would burn because it's true. That Emmanuel, God with us, it's all in here, beloved. It's all in here. So as Peter's talking about this prophecy, none of it's by the will of man. Like, men and women were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And do you realize that Christmas didn't just happen? I am so amazed by this. Why did God not just do things? He is always speaking to his people before it happens. That's what God always does. So we look at the prophecy, all the scripture, before Jesus even shows up. Over 300 times in the Old Testament, you're talking about there's a Messiah coming. There's someone who's coming. And do you know what? He's going to come as a baby. He's going to come from the line of David. He is going to be the Prince of Peace. Like, all these scriptures, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before, the circumstances of his birth, the city he would grow up, they talk about his betrayal, death, and resurrection, that he's going to come from Bethlehem, there's going to be a forerunner, all these things, over 300 of them. Amazing, right? So the people of God knew who the Messiah was if they were looking. And we know in the scripture that there was only a few people who were really cued in and who were really looking. I think of Simeon and Anna, the Luke chapter 2. They were looking. But do you know what? Most everyone wasn't. That's why Peter says, you do well to pay attention, that you would have ears to hear and eyes to see. I want to just say a little bit of these prophecies. These are Christmas stories that were written hundreds of years before. Isaiah 7 says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and he shall be called Emmanuel. That's written hundreds of years before. Isn't that incredible? Isaiah 11, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. You see that happening in the scripture, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he sees with his ears. But with righteousness, he will judge the needy. With justice, he will give decisions for the poor on the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt and faithfulness a slash around his waist. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. Unbelievable. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Amen? Amen. God with us. God with us. Isn't that amazing? But it didn't just happen. It didn't just happen. God was speaking it hundreds of years before it even happened. Why is that? I don't know emphatically, but this really made me pause. Why does God speak to his people before it happens? He always does that. He's always speaking before it happens. You know, it's interesting. I really believe that God always warns his people. God is not silent. He always warns his people. And actually, just a few months ago, I felt like I really experienced this. Before the fire, a few days before the fire, I had a thought in my mind. What would I grab if I had to leave right away? And I thought about that. Huh. So at 1:30 in the morning, when I had to get my stuff, I knew what to grab. Now, you can call that whatever you want, but let's be honest and say that the Lord was preparing me. You know? He always prepares his people because he's always speaking. You see, our God is not silent. This isn't just a bunch of myths. This isn't fables. This is true, and this is God. And do you know what? Our God is a relational God, and he speaks. He loves his people, and he speaks beforehand. So we would do well to pay attention to what God is speaking. Through his word, being listening to how the wind is moving us, that we had listen and go with him and don't dismiss it. But do you know why I believe the key to all this? Do you know why we are to listen? Do you know why we're supposed to pay attention? Jesus says it in John 14. He says, I'm telling these things, and he's talking about the end. He said, I'm telling you all these things before it takes place. And he says, so that when it does take place, that you would believe. That's what Jesus said. The reason why I'm saying all these things before is so that when it happens, you'll believe. You'll actually say, thus said the Lord. God spoke this into existence. God knew. And do you know what? I believe. I believe him. I believe that the word of God is true. I believe that the word of God is unchanging. I believe that when God speaks something, he'll do it. So the reason I'm telling you these things, Jesus says, is that you'd believe. That there would be no doubt in your mind. That when God says something, that he's good on his word. Because he's faithful. He cannot deny his word. That's why, beloved, that we would believe. And what I want you to know this morning is that God has spoken, God is speaking, and everything that he said, he will do. Why? So that we'll believe. We'll believe. So when Jesus showed up on the scene as a baby, why did he say all of these things? So that when the baby came, when he was revealed as the Son of God, that people would believe. Oh, this is the one that was spoken about. This is the promised Son of God. This is the anointed one, the Messiah. This is him. It's all in the scripture. And here he is. So we believe. And as we look into the future, the things that God's going to do, so that when it happens, we believe. Why? Because he's looking for faith. He's looking for people who believe no matter what. If God said it, he's going to do it. I trust it. I trust him. Amazing. Amazing. Gail, do you want to come up? There's so many miracles that are real in Christmas. I mean, just the whole story is this grand miracle, but it's so unbelievable to know that hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago is when the story began to be unfolded. God knew the whole time, but to us as humans, it was unfolded so that when it happens, that we would believe, that we would believe. So I am speaking this to you as a question. Do you believe? Do you believe? Have you given your life over to Jesus, the promised one of God, the Son of God, who left heaven, came to earth to give his life as a sacrifice for us, for our sins, so that we could be home with him in heaven? Do you believe? Or is Christmas a bunch of cookies and eggnog, right? I mean, I love eggnog, don't get me wrong, but so much more. Pure Sign, I want to stir up this in you. Everything that was spoken, it wasn't just ideas about God. It's from God. Believe it. And believe doesn't mean, yeah, I think that's true. I'm talking about, do you trust it? Do you lay the whole weight of your life on it? Do you give your life to it? Beloved, there's no other way than all in. There's no other way. You can dance around this, you can tippy toe around it, but to what end? I want to invite you to enter into the story of Christmas when God became a man. He became God with us. And more than that, now he is God in us, through us. It's amazing. There is nothing finer than celebrating Christmas as a follower of Jesus. You know? God has spoken, God is speaking. Are you listening to God? I just want you to close your eyes just for a second. What is your response to the Word of God? You know, don't say this out loud, no need. But what is your response to the Word of God? What do you say, having heard this? I want you to spend a moment in prayer, and I want you to come before God. And if there's areas in your life you're like, you know what, I need to turn directions because I'm actually walking away from you, God, and I know that you're calling me back. The Bible says that that's repentance, when we turn and come back. It's like the prodigal coming home. And if there's an area in your life you're like, you know what, I'm walking the wrong way, I need to turn around, I want you to confess that to God. Just make it known, to declare, like, I'm off here. I'm turning around again, God. I'm turning to you. And maybe all is well in your soul. And do you know what your response is? I believe. I believe. I believe it. Bless the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I believe it. God, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. God, thank you that you are with us, that we're never alone, that we belong to you because you made a way in Christ. God, help us to be all in and to be allowed, that we would allow you to carry us like the wind. Amen.